Hey everyone, and welcome to a deep dive where today we're going to try to untangle two economic concepts that sound a bit like a tug of war.
You mean crowding in and crowding out?
Right, those are the ones, and I'm guessing these concepts are a pretty big deal in the world of economics.
They really are. They're all about figuring out the role of government in the economy, you know, and it's a debate that seems to come up every time Britain faces an economic crisis.
Really? Every time?
Yeah, pretty much every major crisis of the 20th century reignited this whole debate.
Wow, so this must be pretty important stuff then if it keeps coming back up.
It is. It gets to the heart of how government spending can impact what the private sector does, like businesses and investors. It can either boost that activity or hold it back.
So crowding in would be the boost and crowding out the holding back.
Exactly. And they've got these sort of historical nicknames too. Like back in the day, crowding out was sometimes called the Treasury view, which went head to head with the Keynesian approach that often favored more government involvement.
This is starting to sound pretty complex.
Oh, it can be. But that's why we're here, to break it down and make sense of it. All right. So with crowding in, the idea is that when the government spends more, let's say, on infrastructure projects or social safety net programs, that spending can actually lead to more private investment, not less.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not like a zero-sum game where the government takes a slice of the pie and there's less left for businesses.
Nope. Think of it more like the government is priming the pump. You know, that government spending can create a ripple effect through the economy, boosting overall demand and making businesses feel more confident about investing and expanding.
So it's like a positive feedback loop.
In a way, yeah. Mm. And this whole idea of government giving the economy a boost is closely linked to Keynesian economics, which you've probably heard of.
Oh, yeah. Keynes is a big name in economics. So if crowding in is the government stepping on the gas, what about crowding out? When does that happen?
Well, crowding out is like hitting the brakes. It's the idea that when the government borrows a ton of money to finance its spending, it ends up competing with businesses for those same funds.
So it's like they're both trying to get loans from the same pot of money.
Exactly. And this can drive up interest rates, making it more expensive for everyone to borrow money, including those businesses that were planning to invest.
So even if the government has good intentions, like trying to stimulate the economy, they could accidentally make it harder for businesses to grow.
That's the worry. And this concern about crowding out is a big part of why some economists, particularly those from the neoclassical or monetarist schools of thought, are a bit cautious about government spending.
Makes sense. If it suddenly costs more to borrow, some businesses might decide it's just not worth the risk.
Exactly. And one of the most famous critics of big government spending was Milton Friedman, the renowned monetarist thinker. He was really skeptical and argued that it could actually stifle private investment and ultimately limit innovation in the long run.
So he thought that government spending could actually hurt the economy in the long term.
He did. He believed that the private sector, you know, driven by competition and the need to make a profit, was far more likely to be innovative and create real economic growth.
So he was a big believer in the power of the free market.
You could say that. He saw the private sector as the real engine of progress.
It sounds like there's a lot to consider here. Both sides of the argument have valid points.
There definitely is a lot to consider, and that's what makes this topic so interesting. It's not a simple black and white issue.
It's like most things in economics, there are a lot of nuances and complexities.
Right. And those ripple effects we talked about with crowding in, well, they're real, but to really understand crowding out, we need to dive into how it works and what it could mean for the private sector's ability to do its thing, you know, invest and innovate.
Yeah, let's dig into that. What are some of those potential downsides?
Well, imagine a giant marketplace where everyone who needs to borrow money and everyone who's got money to lend all come together.
Oh, okay. Like a stock exchange, but for loans instead of stocks.
That's the idea. You've got businesses that need capital to expand or to launch a new project, mm-hmm. and you've got individuals and institutions with savings that they're looking to invest.
So it's all about connecting borrowers and lenders.
Right. Now, when the government needs to borrow a whole lot of money, like let's say to fund a massive stimulus package or a huge infrastructure project, it enters this marketplace as a really big borrower.
So it's kind of like a whale entering a small pond.
Exactly. And that sudden surge in demand for loans, it puts upward pressure on interest rates. It basically makes borrowing more expensive for everyone.
Ah, so it's like a classic supply and demand situation. The more borrowers there are, the higher the price of borrowing goes.
You got it. And that's where crowding out really kicks in. Businesses that were planning to invest might suddenly find themselves facing much higher interest rates.
Ouch, so their projects might become less profitable or maybe even impossible to get off the ground.
That's the risk. And some economists have argued that this effect can be even broader than just the direct competition for loans.
Really? How so?
Well, there were these two economists, Roger Bacon and Walter Eltis. They were particularly interested in what happens when the public sector grows really big.
Like when the government takes on more and more responsibility for providing services.
Right. Especially in areas where those services don't have a direct market price.
You mean things like public health care, education, social services, that kind of thing?
Exactly. Their argument was that as the public sector expands in these areas, it can indirectly pull resources away from the manufacturing sector.
So even if there's no direct competition for loans, a growing public sector could still have an impact on private businesses.
That was their theory, and it raised some interesting questions about finding the right balance between public and private sector activity.
It sounds like a delicate balance to maintain.
It definitely is. And this is where Milton Friedman's views on government intervention become really relevant. He was deeply skeptical of big government programs.
He thought they were more likely to cause problems than solve them.
Well, he was concerned that excessive government involvement could stifle the kind of entrepreneurial spirit and dynamism that you need for a thriving private sector.
So it wasn't just about interest rates. He was worried that too much government could actually make the entire economy less efficient.
That was a big part of his argument. He believed that the private sector, driven by the profit motive and the need to compete, was far more likely to innovate and create real economic growth.
It sounds like a pretty strong argument in favor of letting the free market do its thing.
It's a perspective that's had a lot of influence on economic policy,
Yeah.
but of course, it's not the only perspective.
Right. And we've also seen examples where government spending seems to have had a positive impact, like Gordon Brown's actions during the 2008 financial crisis.
That was a pretty extraordinary situation. The global financial system was teetering on the brink of collapse, and governments all over the world had to take drastic measures.
So in that case, the need to stabilize the economy and prevent a complete meltdown outweighed the concerns about crowding out private investment.
Yeah, Brown argued that the UK's aggressive spending, even though it led to a big budget deficit, was absolutely necessary to prevent a much deeper recession.
So they were essentially choosing to prioritize short-term stability over long-term concerns about debt and crowding out.
You could say that.
Yeah.
And over in the US, the Obama administration took a similar approach with their big stimulus package, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
That was another massive spending program, right?
Huge. It involved pouring money into infrastructure projects, social programs, all sorts of things. The goal was to give the economy a much needed boost and hopefully prevent things from getting even worse.
And did it work?
Well, that's a question that economists are still debating. But it's clear that in both of these cases, the governments were facing a really dire situation.
The economies were in free fall, and they felt like they had to do something dramatic.
And a key point here is that in both cases, the economies were operating well below their full potential. There was a lot of unused capacity, businesses weren't investing as much as they could, and unemployment was high.
So in a situation like that, government spending might actually have a stimulative effect.
Right. Instead of competing with the private sector for resources, the government spending could actually complement and encourage private investment.
So the impact of government spending really depends on the context.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to understand these concepts of crowding in and crowding out. They're not just theoretical ideas, they have real-world implications for how governments respond to economic challenges.
This has been a really insightful look at a complex issue. It seems like there's a lot to consider when trying to strike the right balance between government action and private sector dynamism.
There definitely is. And as we move forward, it's important to keep in mind that the debate over the role of government in the economy is likely to continue.
Especially as countries around the world grapple with issues like rising debt levels and slow economic growth.
These are challenges that aren't going away anytime soon. But by understanding the dynamics of crowding in and crowding out, we can have a more informed and productive conversation about how to address them.
Okay, so we've talked about how government spending can sometimes crowd out private investment, especially when the economy is already doing well. But what does that actually look like, in real life? How does it affect businesses? And ultimately, how does it affect us as consumers?
Well, let's say there's this bright entrepreneur. She's got this amazing idea for a new tech startup, something that could really change things. But to get it going, she needs capital, money to develop the product and build the business.
That makes sense. Every business needs some cash to get started.
Right. But if interest rates are high because the government is borrowing a lot of money, she might not be able to get a loan at a rate that makes sense for her business.
Ah, so her great idea might get stuck before it even has a chance to take off.
Exactly. And that's one of the big concerns with crowding out. It can really put a damper on innovation across a lot of different sectors.
So businesses might think twice about investing in research and development, or they might delay using new technologies, or they might even just scrap good projects altogether if borrowing is just too expensive.
Right. It becomes a question of risk versus reward. And when the cost of borrowing goes up, the risk starts to outweigh the potential reward.
And it's not just about those individual businesses either, right?
Yeah.
It's about the overall impact on the economy.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. The private sector is often seen as the engine of long-term economic growth. You know, companies are always competing, trying to find ways to do things better, create new stuff, offer people more choices.
And if that whole process gets slowed down, it's ultimately us, the consumers, who miss out.
Right. We might not see those cool new products or services or those life-changing innovations.
It's like a ripple effect that goes way beyond just interest rates.
And our sources point out that this is especially worrying for industries that really depend on innovation to survive, you know, like tech, biotech, renewable energy, those kinds of fields.
Those are the industries that are supposed to help us solve some of the biggest problems we're facing, like climate change and healthcare.
Exactly. And if they can't get the funding they need because interest rates are too high, well, it could have huge consequences down the road.
So it's not just about today's economy. It's about our ability to build a better future.
And that's why this debate over crowding in versus crowding out is so important. It's not just an academic exercise. It has real implications for how we shape our economic future.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. I feel like we've really gotten to grips with some pretty complex ideas.
I agree. It's been great to explore these concepts and see how they play out in the real world.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are some of the key takeaways you'd like our listeners to remember?
Well, first of all, remember that crowding in and crowding out are both real things that can have a big impact. It's not about saying one is always good and the other is always bad. It's about understanding when each one is more likely to happen.
So context is key.
Absolutely. The impact of government spending depends on a whole bunch of factors, like what's going on in the economy, what specific policies are being used, how confident businesses are feeling.
And it seems like protecting the private sector's ability to innovate and create long-term growth is crucial.
Definitely. While government spending has an important role, we have to be really careful about the potential downsides of crowding out private investment, especially in those industries that are so important for progress.
I think this has been a really valuable discussion. We've unpacked some pretty tough economic theories. We've looked at real-world examples, and hopefully we've given our listeners a better understanding of how government actions can impact the economy in all sorts of ways.
It's a topic that's sure to keep generating debate, especially as governments all over the world try to figure out how to balance their budgets with the need to support economic growth.
And as we go forward, it's important to keep this debate in mind as we watch how economic policies play out in real time. So thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the fascinating world of crowding in and crowding out.